Okay, friends, I don't know if you can relate, but as we start to enter into the fall season, it also feels like we're entering into the busy season. The schedules feel a little more packed, and the meetings are a little more back to back to back. And in the past, I've noticed that with that, my health and nutrition kind of takes a backseat, which is why I'm so happy to have Factors, no mess, no prep meals in my back pocket. I always know that I can meet my wellness goals with Factor, with their chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, because Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, I always have time to enjoy those nutritious, great tasting meals that I need. So make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? Factor has 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week. You'll always have a new flavor to explore. And you can crush your wellness goals this month with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust, which is so important. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use code barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50 at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
That it is the mind that can make things so much more disastrous than it actually is in the present moment, or it keeps us from dealing with the disaster that's actually happening in the present moment.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, and I'm so super excited to be here with my mom again with you all this week to chat about life and some things that we've been talking about and struggling with and just contemplating, et cetera, et cetera. Hi, Mom.
How's it going? It's going well.
How is everything in your neck of the woods this week?
It's going well, I have to say. Yeah.
Love to hear it.
I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah.
To have another conversation, as you always say, another conversation of life's most important topics. Because this topic today, I probably say this every week, but this topic today is very near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. I have spent a lifetime on this particular topic.
Yeah, I guess I would say that this is probably your life's most important topic.
Yeah, I would say so. If I thought of what are the things in life that hinder us the most from living the life that we deeply desire, I would have to say this is probably close to one or two at the list, mm-hmm. on the list.
Yeah. And when I think about my life with you, obviously spending my whole life with you, this is a common theme or a common topic that you talk about forever.
Yes.
So and I think what's interesting is you've had a lot of time to contemplate this lately. Do you want to share with our friends of the pod, why?
Oh, yes. Well, I had a freak accident 3 weeks ago, and I fractured my right kneecap.
Poor Barb.
Yeah, which has been, it has been a very interesting experience the past 3 weeks. I'm actually into the fourth week now, so I have the brace off, and I'm able to bend it. But yes, and I think what is so
incredible about this experience happening for me are two things. One, I'm 67 years old and I have never experienced any kind of surgery or break. Not that I had a surgery on my knee. Thank goodness it was not broken. It was actually just fractured. There were no parts of my knee that had literally displaced. Exactly. But I've never been in the hospital. I've never, except for delivering you, you know, I've never experienced anything like this. I've had, you know, minor little things along the way, but nothing like this. So it's been a very interesting experience, which maybe I'll share more about that, maybe even on the next episode next week, about some of the things that I've gone through. But the biggest thing that it has brought for me is my obsession or my attention or my desire in the thought of, well, actually thoughts, that's an interesting thing to say, but in my experiences of the idea of slowing down. And what does that mean in life? How have I experienced that my whole life? And how have I been a student of the idea of slowing down for the past 40 years?
Yeah.
So this accident has truly brought it to the surface in the most explosive way, I guess. Explosive by meaning like the awareness and the...
Well, disruptive for sure.
For sure. But just the awareness of it. You know, we always talk about awareness in life is key, because awareness leads to the wisdom, the insights that we have in life. So that's exactly what this has done at a whole nother level. And that's, you know, there's a part of me, I'm so grateful, not for falling or, I didn't even, it's a freak accident, which I can talk about next time, but I don't want to say that I'm grateful that it happened, because I think for one thing, oftentimes we're not grateful for the things that are happening, but we're grateful for the experience later as we reflect on it. And as we see and become aware of all of the wisdom that it has brought to me in the past several weeks.
Yeah. Well, certainly the physical accident that you had and breaking your kneecap and being in a brace and having to use crutches for a little bit and all of that absolutely physically forced you to slow down. You know, you're usually someone who's very active, and the fact that you couldn't do the things that you usually do physically, like working out or just you love to go for walks, even driving because it was your right knee, so you couldn't drive. It was a huge disruption to your life and your lifestyle and just your routine, honestly. And then, of course, the healing process of being instructed to, you know, sit and put your leg up and rest and not bend it and not move it and not put weight on it. That I feel like if I were to think about you and how you live, like it was kind of the exact opposite of how you live your life. And so you had to really process that in a lot of different ways. But I think it is the epitome of slowing down physically, but of course then what goes along with the physical of it and what perhaps maybe makes the slowing down of the physical part even worse, which is the mental part. And being with you for this entire process of your fall and all of that, and seeing how it all has impacted you has made it so clear about what slowing down means and how it's really hard for us as human beings to prioritize it, especially in the world around us. And yeah, it's been really interesting, especially because, like I said, you're someone who's always talked about slowing down mentally, physically. You know, we've talked on the show about relationship with time and how we view it and how we think about time. But I think your fall and your injury has really brought it to another level of like what slowing down is. And even like you said, you're not grateful that you injured yourself. It's been really hard for you, but it was another reminder of this lesson.
I think, yes, Michelle, that's so very true. And I think what we want to share today on this episode and what I am so passionate right now about sharing is I have been a student of meditation and mindfulness for 40 years. This October, actually. Mm-hmm. And probably, as I said, one of my number one or number two most important things in life is understanding what the mind does and how the thoughts and the mind influence everything that we do in life. What we think, we become. That whole, you know, most of all of us have heard that phrase. So what happens though, and what has happened to me, yes, I am a person of action. I've done study for 40 years on how to slow down the thoughts and the mind so that I can be present with the actions that I'm doing. But I'm a person of action. I'm moving. You're right. I love to hike. I love to walk. I love to drive if I have to go somewhere. I like to have my independence. I love to do yoga. I love to do all of the things. I love to do my social justice work. I love to do. But I also am a very mindful person. When I'm doing something, I'm most of the time present, and I always have the intention to be present, but we're never perfect. So I'm certainly not always perfect at it, but I always am aware, whoa, I've left the present moment. Let me bring my thoughts back. So when you stop the movement of the body, which is what I have realized, and the wisdom that I've gained and the insight has been extraordinary for me. When I stop the movement of my body, literally being in bed, or as you said, sitting down and not, you know, barely moving because I was not allowed to bend it and in this brace, when I stopped the movement of my body, I became so keenly aware of the thoughts in my mind and what was happening and the fear that came in. Oh my gosh, it's my knee. I'm never going to be able to sit cross-legged in meditation again, even though I don't do that all the time. I sit in a chair. I do all kinds of different positions for meditation, but that's one of my favorites. I'm never going to be able to do yoga again. I mean, my mind went down this rabbit hole of nevers. Oh my gosh, my whole life is going to change. This is my knee. I'm 67 years old. This is my knee. Oh my gosh, the knee is such an important part of the body. So the mind was going wild with all these suppositions that were going to happen as a result of this injury. So I was living so much in the present. I mean, in the future.
So it's like your body slowed down, but your mind sped up.
Exactly. And it was like, oh my gosh, wait a minute, Barb, remember your practice. And I was doing my meditation. I was doing the things and the practices that I always do for my mental well-being. But it was almost like none of that was, I don't want to say it wasn't working. It absolutely was working on a deep level, but it still didn't, my mind was still speeded up. It was kind of like a dual track, if that makes any sense. I'm meditating and slowing down and noticing and really into my practice, but I'm also, oh my gosh, I'm 67 years old. What's my future going to be? It's going to be changing. And then as I started sitting with this idea that this was the present moment, Barb, this is what's happening right now. Start accepting the present moment. You know, that Eckhart Tolle quote, start accepting the present moment as if you had chosen it. And he doesn't mean that I chose to be injured. Mm-hmm. He means that this is what the moment is giving me. I don't have any choice in changing that. I can't move my knee. I can't drive. I can't walk without crutches. I have to have a brace on. That's what he means when he says that. Mm-hmm. I know some people have an aversion to that as if we'd chosen it. No, I didn't choose the injury, but the present moment presented me with this that I cannot change. So
it is what it is.
Yeah, exact acceptance. So I've really done a deep dive in the past 3 to 4 weeks as I'm entering this fourth week of acceptance. And for acceptance for me, what that has meant is this idea of, oh my gosh, the mind. It always for me comes back to the mind, but the mind in a very strong way that we really have to understand how speeded up the thoughts in the mind can get, how the thoughts in the mind can run amok and take us down a rabbit hole. And it truly is the thoughts that we are thinking that drives everything that we're doing. So if the thoughts are going a mile a minute, if the thoughts are truly out of control in what is happening, and when I say out of control, I mostly mean I'm living in the past, because I spent an enormous amount of time reflecting on how this happened. I'm still not even really clear on how it happened. It felt like I had just done a Pilates class and I was walking home. It felt like my hamstring kind of gave loose and I fell directly onto my knee, onto concrete. It's just so weird when people say, how did it happen? I'm a little bit unclear because it wasn't like I tripped and fell and my whole body went face planted onto the ground. So it's been very interesting to me to look at the reflection on, oh, what did I do wrong? Was I not walking well? Was I not present? You know, all the things that we do to ourselves in thoughts that we must have caused this to happen. I must have done something wrong. To once I got past that with my practice, wait a minute, it just happened, Barb. Now accept that it happened, but then I moved quickly into the future as I was saying earlier, that, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to do this laundry list of things that I love doing in my life. So what came to me, I just want to end this little piece. What came to me was this quote by a Buddhist nun who as all of you know, in listening to the show, that I spent like 11 or 12 years studying all the great religions and traditions of our world. And when I went into Buddhism, I really love this Buddhist nun, Jetsuma Tenzin Palmo. Just her words were so plain and so simple. And it always amazed me. She's a Buddhist nun, but she's speaking to me as a householder. And I just loved her ability to be able to connect that, because I'm not a nun, nor am I going to be a nun. I want to live in the world that we are all living in. So I just love this quote of hers. Our mind, with its incessant stream of thoughts, memories, opinions, hopes, and fears, is our constant companion, from which we cannot escape even in our dreams. So it makes sense to cultivate a worthy travel companion for our journey. And I almost have tears in my eyes right now after reading that, because what happened and the wisdom that I gained from remembering this quote and remembering this message that Tenzin Palmo gives to us is that the mind does this, and we cannot escape the thoughts in the mind. So the moment I could embrace acceptance of the present moment, slow down those thoughts. Wait a minute. This happened. I did nothing wrong. It just happened. And accepting the present moment for what it was giving me, and knowing that I was going to do whatever I needed to do in this present moment for the future to be what I would hope or desire it to be.
Right.
I don't have any control over that, though, but I can do my best in this moment. I cannot do anything in the past or future. So I came to you, Michelle, and said, we've got to do an episode on this idea of slowing down the thoughts in the mind. It's not about slowing down the body necessarily. I mean, I'll never forget being on a retreat, and an emergency room doctor was talking about, we were on the subject of slowing down, and he goes, I have to work fast. Mm-hmm. I have to work very fast in an emergency room. I'm saving lives. And I have goosebumps saying this because it was so profound, and he said, my body's going to be working fast. But if I didn't keep my mind present in the moment and not allowing my incessant stream of thoughts and memories and past things to invade my mind, I could make an error in that saving the person's life. So I'm very present, and my thoughts are very present. And when our thoughts are present, they're slowed down. They're mindful. They're in the moment. They're in every moment accepting, what do I need to do next? What do I need to do next? What do I need to do next? We're so present with our thoughts that we actually can be very, not only mindful with our actions, but actually the actions that we're taking have the best possibility of producing the result that we're desiring.
Right. You're less likely to make big or unnecessary mistakes or big mistakes when you're slower, which tends to feel like the opposite, because we think if we get it done faster, we'll get to move on. But yeah, it's true. Especially, I mean, not that we are experts in the medical community and know what it's like to be emergency room doctors, but I would imagine that, you know, when every move matters and you don't want to make any mistakes, like you said, you do have to be fast with your actions, but your mind has to be so focused and present to know exactly what to do and when to do it. And I think that's kind of the perfect example of the power and importance of it for all of us too.
Exactly, Michelle. And I feel so strongly about this notion or this ideal, actually an ideal, not just an idea, this ideal that we truly can live our best lives and have the most optimistic outcome for our lives by really embracing this idea of being present and making, as Tenzin Palmo says, cultivating our mind to be our worthy travel companion for our journey in life. And this is what makes me teary, because I'm thinking about lying there in bed the first night that this happened, so scared that my life was not over. I mean, in the context of what is happening in the world and the things that happen in life, you know, this is kind of a blip on the radar sometimes, but it was severe. No. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it was that it got that disastrous in my mind. And I think for us to understand that it is the mind that can make things so much more disastrous than it actually is in the present moment, or it keeps us from dealing with the disaster that's actually happening in the present moment. So when Tenzin Palmo says to cultivate a worthy travel companion for our journey, what that has meant to me all the years of learning from her and actually being on several retreats with her is this. I use this mantra, and the minute that I started remembering in that moment and coming back to the present moment and saying, wait a minute, Barb, the mind is taking you down a rabbit hole. Remember, you have this worthy travel companion. And I use this mantra a lot, or use this affirmation a lot, when I get caught up in the mind going down a rabbit hole and me living in the past or the future and not trusting myself and trusting all of the wisdom and all of the awarenesses that I've developed, and really having the confidence and the resilience in myself and in my body. I use this affirmation: may I meet this moment fully. May I meet it as a friend. Mm-hmm. I love to think of my mind as my friend. And during the beginning stages of this injury, I was combating my mind so much. I was in a lot of mental suffering. So as I look back, I was causing myself to suffer more than I needed to suffer. The mind was suffering and my body was suffering. So I had two sufferings going on. It's a very interesting situation that I feel like I've been in for the past several weeks. And it's this idea of cultivating our mind to be our friend and understanding some of the pitfalls that can happen when we get caught up in this loop of incessant stream of thoughts and fears and ideas that we think can happen because we're living in the past or the future.
Certainly. And I think it could be cool to do a whole episode about this concept of like catastrophizing, because I know we've done some Instagram work on that with reels and blogs and things like that. But just, I think it's really easy, especially in the world that we live in, to catastrophize. You know, one thing happens and we don't know how it's going to unfold, and we tend to think the worst. And especially in kind of the times that we're living in, and the stories that we can tell ourselves. And then, you know, you have other people that kind of, and not for bad intentions, chime in and give their experiences. And I think for you, Mom, like you said, you are 67 years old. You've never had any kind of health issue like this, where you're breaking a bone or having to not be physically active. Obviously, you've had other stuff in the past. And, you know, you hear from other people and maybe they say, oh, you know, the knee is the worst, Barb. You got to really be careful. Otherwise, you could really struggle and suffer for the rest of your life, especially as you're getting older, and arthritis and being able to walk, and you live in a humid place. You know, like, people chime in with their thoughts about it, or, oh, Barb, like, really be careful. You don't want to mess up your healing. So make sure that you're really doing everything the doctor says, and kind of taking you out of your own power to do what you need to do. And so I think, just to not let you off the hook, but it's normal to go through that, because you're taking in so many different thoughts and opinions and ideas about something like this. So I think it's natural to go to all of the what ifs that could happen, and to be afraid, and to think about your life, and to feel a little bit out of control, because something like this really is out of your control, to the degree of you can do everything that you're told to do, but the body is the body and it can heal in certain ways. And, you know, I started going with you to your doctor's appointments so that I could make sure that we remember everything that we need to do.
I was hearing what she was saying.
And
it's funny.
Yeah. Just, you know, another set of years
could
is always
great. Could
I pause
just for a second? Because you said something so brilliant right now, and you've set this conversation up so beautifully to where we want to go with it next. You walked in the room one time recently and you said, Mom, you're catastrophizing. Please stop catastrophizing. And I want to say, you say things to me in a very gentle, caring way. It's not about...
No, hopefully.
Well, I mean, you were concerned, but you were also, I mean, you were my caretaker there. So it gets a little bit heavy sometimes. But you said it in a way that you cared so much and you were so thoughtful about what was happening. And I think it's really important when we do have someone in our life that can do that. It really it really serves us in such a great way. But I also want to say the way you've set this up so beautifully, isn't this the example of what life is? What you just said, all of these things, people's comments or things or thoughts or all the things.
Or even WebMD.
Or like, whatever you know. It is. Yeah. Whatever it is. Isn't that what life is? Life is, there are people and stories and internet and social media and all of the things out there, doctors, WebMD or whatever it is. We take the outside world is filled with opinions and thoughts and negativity sometimes, and all of the things. The outside world is filled with everything that we cannot predict or that we cannot even sometimes understand. And it is our job as a human to really rely on the inner world. We live in the outer world, but there's also an inner world that's saying, okay, and having some discernment. This is true. This may not be true. Let me look at this. Let me look at that, and not take in everything and all the opinions and the thoughts and the stories of the outside world. So you set this conversation up beautifully. Mm. So go to you going into my doctor's appointment with me.
Well, I was saying that I did go in with you just to make sure, you know, having another set of ears, but he did say, you know, the knee is a good break, you know.
I was very fortunate.
Because it, you know, it'll heal well, but he also said that the knee, you'll always know that it happened. Like, you know, when it gets super humid here or a storm's coming in, you might feel it. He's like, you'll feel a difference in that knee, even though it will heal and you can go back to all of your normal activity. I don't remember why my point of that was.
Well,
like
you'll
know that it happened.
Well, it was kind of cool the way he said it too. You're right. He said it'll always be a reminder.
Yeah.
You'll always, you know, as you said, with the weather or flying in an airplane or whatever, he said, you know, it'll be a gentle reminder.
Oh, that was my point. You can do everything that you need to do to heal, but you can't control how the rest of your life is going to be with the truth of this incident happening. And so going back to the mind, I could see in a certain instance that him saying that might have led you on a path to catastrophizing a bit, not being critical of you, but I know how much you value your health and your mobility. Like we said, you are so active. You do so much. Like, I think the biggest thing for you with this injury outside of, you know, the physical is not being able to drive. Like, you like to be on the go.
I also like to be independent. I'm a pretty
independent
person.
For sure. Yeah. That's a big piece. Having to rely on me to drive you places, I know, has been interesting for both of us.
Well, I think, you know what, can I just intercept there for a second? Because what it brought up to me is I notice that my independence sometimes can lead to not wanting to be a bother. When actually you were really grateful to be a part of all of this and help me in any way that I can, or any way that you could, that I needed. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting how that kind of unfolded. I didn't want to be a bother to you. I didn't want to be so dependent that it was disrupting your life. And once I realized that, I thought, wait a minute, she's here to help. She's a loving, caring, incredible human being. She's here to do whatever I need. Having this thought process that I'm a bother or that I'm interrupting her life is just not, it's not accurate. It's not real. It's not true. And that's why I'm so focused on the thoughts in the mind during this whole thing. And it's the thoughts in the mind that led to the catastrophizing. It's the thoughts in the mind that said, oh my gosh, I'm interrupting Michelle's life. I know she doesn't really want to do this, but she has to. And none of that's true.
Well, also,
it was a perfect example that that so many of the thoughts in the mind are not true. And we believe them anyway. So we act that way anyway. And it causes us such suffering and such disruption of what is actually happening in the moment.
I am all about finding new tips, tools, practices, data to help me live my healthiest life, which is why I'm so excited to have found Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning and you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're burning mostly fats or carbs. And then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. Your metabolism is your body's engine. It's how your body turns the food you eat into the fuel that keeps you going. Because your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimal metabolic health translates to a bunch of benefits, including easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep, and so much more. Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health. It can also track your cycle as well as the onset of menopause and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy and stave off cravings. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/barbknowsbest to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/barbknowsbest for 15% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've listened to the show, you've heard my mom and I talk about how much therapy has impacted both of our lives. We've basically been in therapy for our entire lives. But we also know how difficult it can be and feel to actually get therapy into our lives, whether it's a busy schedule or not knowing where to go or who to trust or just the financial component and commitment therapy actually is. We know it's challenging just to get started. But we also want to reiterate how beneficial therapy can be, whether working through our issues or really understanding who we are and what we want in life. As I've said, therapy is a game changer. And so if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest.
Well, also, you know, going back to what the doctor said, you might still feel it. Your mind could be like, oh, I can't believe this happened. And then going back into the past, if only I had done this, if only I hadn't gone to that Pilates class and tweaked my hamstring, if maybe I didn't go out and run that errand, I wouldn't have been walking. I can't believe I did that. Now my life is over. Now I'm going to be in pain for the rest of my life. Now I'm going to be 80 and I'm not going to be able to do, you know, like I think that could have tripped you or anyone into a thought process of really speeding up the mind of, oh my gosh, he says it's going to be okay, but it's not going to be okay because it's not going to be okay for me because nothing is going to be the same because I messed this up, even though you said it wasn't technically your fault. You know, if only I hadn't done this, this, and this, I wouldn't be in this position. And so it was another good reminder of, you know, slowing down the thoughts to intercept them, to be like, wait, I have to take this one moment at a time. I don't know how this is going to unfold. He said that this could be a outcome of this down the road. I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. I could be fine. You might be 10 years down the road and not really feel anything. We just don't know. And it's that ability to kind of stop any kinds of those thoughts in the mind or those stories that we tell ourselves about these kinds of things and say, wait, I don't know that that's true. This isn't productive right now. What can I do in this moment? And that, I think, is really the power of the slowing down of the mind. So then that you're slowing down everything else.
100%. And the moment that I think the whole purpose of this episode, I think, is to help all of you be aware that we can stop our thinking in any given moment. It is not easy, and it's a practice. And so I went down the rabbit hole a lot those first, you know, few days, first week of this injury. But as I started thinking about this idea and using my affirmation, may I meet this moment fully. May I meet it as a friend. It was a reminder to me that my mind is my friend. And a friend doesn't have those thoughts towards another friend. It's kind of that ability to have a little bit of detachment and become a witness of what's happening in your mind and say, wait a minute. My mind is my friend. I've been cultivating this mind for 40 years. It truly is my friend. So what is real and what isn't real? And my mind telling me all these terrible things that could happen for the future and I'm not going to be the same or all the things that you just said, Michelle, is not a friend. A friend is going to be encouraging. A friend is going to remind me that I have the confidence. I have the resilience. I have everything that I need to do the best that I can in every moment. I have no control over what the outcome will be, but I can be my own best friend, which you talk about a lot on this show. And that's what the reminder is whenever we have anything happening. And so when we feel our mind, when we feel our mind racing into these places of uncertainty, of I'm not capable, I'm not confident, I'm not all of these things. When we find that, we truly have to train ourselves to just stop. The minute the mind is racing, and what has helped me do that was my body. It's kind of interesting. My body is now slowed down completely. So I was able to see how speeded up my mind was in the past and the future. When I got my mind slowed down as my friend again, I got kind of a quote normal or quote way of understanding and coming back to my friend. I was able to feel my body and I could feel, wow, my body is feeling a little anxious. I could feel my stomach feeling anxiety or stress about what this could portray for my future. So it's a very, you could see I'm so animated about this because yeah. I'm so fascinated with, so I slowed down the body so much I was only in the mind. And then once I got the mind back to becoming my friend, I was back into the body and I could feel the anxiety and the stress. So where I'm going with this is the body knows the score. The body feels it first. The body knows. So when I got my mind back into a place of, okay, Barb, stay in the present moment. You have everything you need in this moment to do whatever it is you're being called to do in this moment. Then I could start to feel my body. So if I take that into my everyday life, when I don't have an injury, the body knows. So when I start to feel anxious or I start to feel my heart racing or when I start to feel my stomach being very upset, I've trained myself and it's something that we truly have to do as humans, especially living in this very anxiety-producing, stressful, fearful time that we are all living in our world today. We have to just stop. Wait a minute. What is happening in this moment? Let me just stop. I can't just push through this. I can't allow my mind to keep going and going and going and going and going. I've got to stop. I've got to pause. I've got to interrupt that incessant stream of thoughts right now that are negative, that are producing this very harsh feeling of fear and anxiety in my body. Mm-hmm. And we do have the power to do that. That is our power in life. That is the power that we have to stop the chaos in the mind that is telling us things that just aren't true because it's not in the present moment. It's not a reflection of the experience that's happening in the present moment. It's a reflection of the fear that we're feeling about the past or the future. So this idea that going down a rabbit hole and, oh my gosh, this is going to define my whole life, and that the external world has the power to name who we are, and that our past is the definition of who we are, all those things that aren't true. This does not have to be an automatic way of living our lives. It doesn't have to be an automatic happening for living our lives. We can stop. We can learn to develop little by little by little the awareness that we can stop and start the moment over again. We can stop and start the moment over again. We can stop and start every single moment over again in our lives. It's so hard, and it takes practice, and we practice and we practice and we practice the practice every single day, the best that we're able, the best that we can. And the best that I was able for that first week of this injury was just to be with it. And it was hard. I was crying. Michelle would walk in and she said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I'm just so emotional right now." She goes, "What's happening?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know." But I allowed myself to feel the feelings. I allowed myself to do all of those things. I didn't try to fight what was happening. Mm-hmm. I do have to say that. I didn't fight it. And maybe because my body couldn't do anything other than just be with what was happening. I didn't try to fight it, but the mind gave me a good run for my money for this year. I mean, for this week, mm-hmm. for that first week. And the practice, though, helps us little by little realize that we have the power of knowing when we need to pause and start over and live in alignment with what we know to be true, what is true, and start again and start again. And that's the power of slowing down. We have to slow down the thoughts to get to this place in life. We cannot, I could not get here without slowing down the thoughts and just say, wait a minute, what is real here?
Yes. So many important things. I want to kind of...
I'm really amped up.
No, I love it. We always get good stuff when you get amped up, especially on these kinds of topics. I want to kind of rewind a bit because I think, for lack of a better word, I would consider you an expert about slowing down your mind. Like, this has been a practice for you for 40 years, like you said. So it's more in your wheelhouse. It's in your back pocket. You are maybe quicker to remember to do it in these kinds of moments because you've been practicing for so long. So I want to go into what it could be like for many of us out there who are just kind of entering this or being open to this or starting this practice and feel like, you know, that their minds are racing all the time, and get your thoughts, because perhaps do you think that all of our minds are racing all of the time, if not intercepted by these kinds of practices or techniques? And if so, it can be overwhelming to feel like, you know, like listening to this right now, if this is resonating with you, I can understand that it might feel overwhelming to rationally know that the mind is a huge source of our suffering and can compound problems and make situations worse by the thoughts that we think. However, if our minds are going a mile a minute as just our seemingly second nature, because we've never really put any of this into practice before, and we might be new at this, it can feel like, oh my gosh, like I'm making my life worse, but I've never done this before and I don't know what to do and I don't even know where to start to even try and slow down my mind, because this is all I've ever known. You know, what do you think about starting this, especially if you're someone that feels like you wake up and it's immediate, you know, full speed ahead until you go to sleep at night. And maybe even when you're trying to sleep, your mind is still racing. How can you approach this from that place? Or what are your thoughts on that?
That's an incredibly important, amazing question, Michelle. And I can't speak to the mind of every single human walking the planet. I can only speak to the mind that I have deep experience with, and that's a mind that's been traumatized. Mm-hmm. I've lived through very traumatic experiences as a child. I've lived through traumatic experiences as an adult and chaos and dysfunction. I've run the gamut of all of the things that a human could be involved with or have experiences with: trauma, chaos, and dysfunction. So when I landed in a treatment center in 1984, 40 years ago this year, it like turned my life upside down. I didn't know any differently. I didn't know. And what I didn't know differently that I'm going to share with you, where I think the first place where you have to start is that there's nothing wrong with you. You are not a problem. You are not the only one on the planet that can't figure out their life and get their mind under control or get their life under control or do all the things. I lived with that for 28 years of my life. I live with that there's something wrong with me. I'm a bad person. I'm never going to have, I'm never going to get, I'm never going to be, all the things. Like, everything was directed at what was wrong with me and that I needed to fix myself. Everyone else was fine. The outside world was fine. The problem was me, and I needed to fix myself. So there was no discernment that, wait a minute, the thoughts in the mind aren't true. All these negative, nasty, you're stupid, Barb. You're not capable, Barb. You're all those things. Those were truths to me. So all of that in my mind was true, and no one else was experiencing this, just me, because I was the bad person. Because for whatever reason, I just thought all of the chaos and the trauma and all of the things that happened to me were my fault. So you have to start there. You have to start with this really deep truth that you don't have to fix yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to start to unravel all of those thoughts in the mind and all of those feelings. And if it's a trauma-induced mind, then I needed help. I checked myself into treatment for bulimia, and I needed help. I needed therapy. I needed someone to help me see that there wasn't anything wrong with me. I didn't need to fix myself. I needed to fix the idea that there was something wrong with me. I needed to fix the idea that I was to blame for every single traumatic thing that happened to me. So once we get to that place where we start to understand that we're not a bad person, mm-hmm.
It's not your fault.
No.
You're not the problem.
And it took 6 weeks of treatment for me. And then coming out of there, I can't even explain to you what a relief it was. And then it's 40 years now in the making. I mean, life is a continual ebb and flow. You talk about that quite often, the ebb and flow of life. You never stop learning. You never stop growing. Because we're not perfect. So you can fall into a trap of thinking that what the thoughts in the mind are saying are true. But the idea of a practice of, once you get to a place of developing this relationship with yourself, wait a minute, I am a good, kind, loving human being. All of the things that have happened to me are not defining who I am. What other people do and say in the outside world does not have the power to name who I am. The thoughts in my mind that are telling me I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not capable enough, I'm not resilient enough, are not true. That is the old baggage from my past and my trauma that's telling me that. That's just not true. So once you get to that place, where I finally got to that place after all of the work that I've done, or after all the rewiring of my brain, you talk about that. I have a whole neural pathway in my brain now. Not that my brain doesn't go to, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to do yoga again. Of course it does, because I'm a human, but I don't live there. Mm-hmm. I can go to these places often when there's a tragedy like, or a mishap like this knee. I can go often during that week or two during this, but I don't live there. I know that that's not real. And so it really is my resilience and my confidence that, wait a minute, my mind is my friend. So that's where you start. The relationship that you have with yourself is the foundation of everything else that you do in your life. So if you don't have a loving, kind relationship with yourself, which takes a lot of practice and a lot of work to develop that, if you are a trauma survivor, but put the effort in. It's a journey worth doing. It's a journey. It's the best place to start. You will thank yourself for taking this journey of developing this loving, kind relationship with yourself. And then you start the practice. Then you start the practice of what you were saying. Then you start the practice of becoming aware, noticing what's happening, bringing myself back to the present moment, all of the things that we've been talking about on the show so far. And you start to establish this idea as you believe that the mind is your friend, and you stop with all of the past incessant thoughts of what could have, should have, and you stop the future of, oh my gosh, my life is never going to be what I want it to be. You start to really develop this ability to be established in the moment of your values, of what matters most to you, of what being grounded in the present moment and stopping the incessant stream of negative thoughts in the mind. This is mindfulness. This is where the power is, and it is a practice. Mm-hmm. It's a practice of practicing practice, of practicing practice. And then we start to know, I can start over. This moment of going down this rabbit hole of negativity doesn't define who I am. What defines who I am is coming back every single moment and starting over again, believing and trusting in myself. And where I want to go with this, and I'll leave it here, and I think our next episode may be on this topic, Michelle, mm-hmm. is if we don't stop it, what creeps in the most, which I believe for me can be a game changer of destructiveness in my life and in my mind, is doubt. When we start to doubt, when we start to doubt ourselves, we lose the capacity to believe. And I don't even really use the word hope anymore. That was my lifeline for 67 years. I use the word faith. For me, having faith in myself, having faith in my life, having faith in what I'm doing, having faith in the practice that I'm practicing, having faith, because when doubt creeps in, and I recognize this instantly within that week of this injury, I started saying, oh, maybe I'm not capable. Maybe I won't ever be able to do yoga again. Oh my gosh, I'm not the person that I thought I was. I mean, all these crazy thoughts were going on in my eyes. I lost the connection to the possibility of my life. And when I have tears starting to come, when we lose the connection to the possibility of what our life can be, because we are all extraordinary human beings, and that the ordinary moments of our life actually are extraordinary, it's really hard to come back from that doubt, especially if we don't have a practice of knowing that it's not true, knowing that it's a lie. So I believe the one of the worst places that I can be from my experience is doubt, because doubt stops us. So before I can ever get to doubt, I stop. I go, wait a minute, I know that I have the power to start over again in this moment with my thoughts and cultivating my mind as being my best friend. And I guess I'll say one other quote to what you just said, Michelle, that I love so much. And it's by Vinoba Bhave. We'll put all this in the notes. The moments of our daily life may appear commonplace, but they carry enormous significance. When we look upon every moment as sacred, a new energy flows into our lives. And it's so powerful to think of every moment as sacred, that this quote and the thought that every moment is sacred is what saves my life every given moment when my mind goes into this rabbit hole of negativity and doubt. Every moment in a new energy. So we bring our mind back from the past, or we bring our mind back from the future. When we come into the present moment fully, may I meet this moment fully, may I meet it as a friend, a new energy flows. I can feel my goosebumps right now just by saying it. I reignited the confidence and the resilience and the care that I have for myself.
I love that. And I think just kind of wrapping that up, the first step, like we say a lot on the show, is having the awareness of what's going on in your mind moment to moment. And if you are someone that feels like you wake up and the mind is off to the races immediately and it's nonstop until you go to sleep, having that awareness just to know, and then maybe choosing spots throughout your day to break it up. Like we've talked about, finding the pause throughout the day, going to the bathroom and taking some breaths, you know, taking a few moments when you wake up to close your eyes and breathe. And something that I've noticed that you do a lot, Mom, that I think has been helpful for you, is you talk a lot to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Out loud sometimes, especially mm-hmm. since I've been living with you in these past few months. I've heard you, I'll be like, are you talking to me? She's like, no, I'm talking to myself. but also in your mind. And I think when it comes to some of these thoughts in the mind that can be racing, sometimes talking back to them, like, especially with your injury, no, that's not true. I don't know if this is the truth. You know, we're not thinking about that right now. We're not going there right now. You know, being able to at least break up the stream of thoughts with thinking or talking back to them can be another great way to slow down.
You're so brilliant, Michelle. I use that word a lot with you because
you
are so brilliant.
That's what you do, though. I just watch you.
It's true. And I would say with that, why is it that we so easily doubt ourselves, that we're the problem, we don't have the confidence, we don't have the resilience, we're stupid, whatever it is. Why can't we doubt those, as you just said, why can't we start doubting those thoughts in the mind too? Like, let's be an equal opportunity, employer here. Let's start to at least, and you ask me, where do you start? And I say, it's cultivating the friendship and the love and the care and the kindness for yourself. So at least maybe that's a place to start. You're doubting yourself. You're hard on yourself. Be hard on the thoughts in the mind too. Like give it equal time. Wait a minute. Like start to even just kind of open the door ever so slightly. I'm telling you, just opening the door ever so slightly to the doubt that the thoughts aren't real is the most powerful thing you can do in this moment today. I promise you. Just ever so slightly say, you know what? I'm not sure I believe that thought that I'm not capable. I'm not sure I believe that thought that my life is never going to be the same because I may not be able to do yoga again. I'm not sure I believe that. Just even having the slightest little bit of crack of doubt in those negative, untruthful thoughts will bring an unbelievable feeling back into your life.
Well, and it'll slow down the thoughts so that you can break them up to maybe not getting to that catastrophic place. Like you can start going down the path, but if you break it up, maybe you'll just get to, oh, this sucks right now, but not, oh, I'm going to never live my life again. And that's what we've talked about with creating the new grooves in the brain, thinking about affirmations, journaling, all of that stuff all comes into play here with slowing down the thoughts because, like you've said, when we can slow them down, we can have the choice of, do I want to go down this path? Do I want to think something differently? We're not so reactive to things. You know, we're less prone to make mistakes like we've talked about in other episodes of like when we're not sped up in a way of reacting quickly to things. We don't always say things that we don't mean or do things that we don't want to do or do things that are harmful just in the heat of the moment. Like there's a lot of benefit outside of just the mind and our mental health in general to slowing down. You know, we're more present to life. We can experience some of the tiny joys that we talk about in life to a deeper degree. We are more present with people. You know, I think one of the biggest aspects of my life where I've noticed that my mind goes is in conversations with people. You know, you can be with people that you love and really cherish their company, but life gets in the way and you can be thinking about all the things that you have to do next or, you know, stuff that's stressing you out, taking you away from really being with people's presence, leading to like feeling lonely. And, you know, what we've talked about of being lonely, even though you're with people. So there's a lot of different benefits to this concept of slowing down the mind and being present and having that awareness outside of just ourselves. And so, you know, of course, the first step is to knowing or choosing or having the intention or desire to do it. If this like has resonated with you in this conversation, the simple act of being like, okay, like I do think my mind is pretty sped up and I'm noticing some aspects where it's really agitating me or adding to my anxiety and I want to make a shift or a change. Like that's a huge first place to start. I know of so many people that really love having a fast-paced mind and thinking. So it really starts with just having that desire to do something different. And then, of course, everything else that my mom has said throughout the show, you know, adding things in here and there really does make a difference.
I love that, Michelle. You're actually so, it's so profound that we can actually learn to watch the mind. So, you know, we talk about being the scientist in our own lives. We actually are scientists of our own lives, for sure. That's how I feel. And I do talk to myself all the time. And this idea that what you just said is so beautiful, that we can actually learn, we can make the desire to, hey, I want to investigate this. I want to investigate what they're talking about on this show. We can actually learn to watch the mind leave the moment, and then we become anxious, mm-hmm. or we become sad, or we become whatever it is. So it's just about, you're right, Michelle, having the desire and making the step to wanting to do some investigation of what is my mind actually saying to me? What is my mind actually doing to me? And I'll leave, you know, this, maybe this will be more to come in the next episode or episodes to follow, whatever it is. I probably have a whole lot more that I can say, and I can give you all let you know what's happening with my knee and let you know what's happening in my recovery. But I'll leave with this last quote. This must be my quote. This must be my quote episode, because they've really, helped me.
Every episode is a quote episode.
Everything that I've learned from other people that are walking the path, life's path, I like to look at it and how does it apply to my life and fit it in wherever it applies and makes sense to me. And so this is one more that I'll leave you with. And St. Augustine said this, and this blew my mind. St. Augustine from the Christian faith said this: I can tell my hand what to do and it obeys. Why can't I do the same with my mind? And when I read that, I thought, first of all, this is from when I was studying Christianity all those years ago, this is from a saint, this is from a master. I'm thinking, okay, he gets it. He can tell his hand what to do and it obeys, but he can't tell his mind. So it took me into another deep teaching and another deep process of understanding the mind. And we can tell our mind what to think by practicing this. Pausing when the mind is going down this rabbit hole, just stop. Okay, what is my mind saying? What is my mind thinking? Introducing some doubt into the thoughts that are happening, and understanding that just slowing the thoughts and the mind down and getting an understanding of what the mind is saying, is it true, is it not true, is powerful. And this is the way we start to be able to, you know, as Tenzin Palmo said, make the mind a worthwhile companion on this journey. May I meet this moment fully. May I meet this moment. May I meet it as a friend.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thanks,
I love you,
Mom.
Michelle. Thank you, Mom, for all of your tender, loving care.
I'm so glad that you're
amazing.
On the mend.
Yes. And thank you all for listening. I love you so much. I'm so passionate about all of you living your lives. We are so passionate. We talk about you all the time, and so passionate about you living the life, you know, really in alignment with the values and what matters most to you, and really living that life of your dreams. So I love you all. Until next week.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Mom. Thanks for sharing with that. I love that we're able to take these present moment experiences and tie them into some of the things that you've talked about to me my whole life. It's a cool full circle moment. So thank you. And thank you all for listening. As always, we're so grateful for you. If you haven't yet, make sure that you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you're always up to date with each new episode. We have some plans in the works to add some new things to the show, so make sure you're in the know, as always. If you have questions, comments, concerns, podcast topic requests, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is the best way to stay in touch. And lastly, if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. It's super helpful for us in the show, and we're always super grateful for it. And again, there is a link in the show notes to sign up for our newsletter for all of the other stuff that's going on with us if you want to stay in touch with. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we'll chat with you next week, because as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.